maybe if there is some kind of a bar mitzvah, any kind of a kiddush or anything, that always draws even more people. If we cannot accommodate many, a lot more, the facilities are not big enough. So now, for the high holidays, we usually have for the last few years, we had having services at the JCC. And we still get about 200 people we get for the around 200 people for the high holidays.
How about Minyan in the morning?
In the morning, neither morning nor evening, only Saturday Minyans and holiday Minyans, and Friday night and Saturday night, and then we have Minyans. On the minor holidays, we have Minyans in the, what's not minor, I mean, but Shavuot, only in high holidays, Yom Kippur and the Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah, where we go to JCC. And all these other holidays are, again, still all the services are conducted at B'nai Zion now. We have, again, even during the holidays, other holidays, our own members conduct the services.
Mm-hmm. I'm sorry, I'm not clear. Going back to your yes. business, did you sell a going business? And
yes.
And you sold your building?
Yeah. No, we sold a going business. There were two people who bought it, and they stayed in that business, but they changed the business. They little by little eliminated a lot of things that we were selling, used to sell to little stores yet, of those few who were left. They went in mostly in one thing, is printing business.
Okay.
They set up their own printing facilities there, and they were mostly in that printing business. Last year, their lease expired, they left, they moved somewhere else, the building was left empty. Fortunately enough, we sold the building, and we just, end of this year, last year, and we are completely out of everything now.
That's what I wanted. Okay. I know that Sally was always there for you.
Right. Actually, when we got married, we lived on, actually, when we got married, Sally was teaching here. She taught for 2 or 3 years, and after that, then she became pregnant, and she gave up her teaching. The interesting part is, she taught in 3 different schools. None of those schools are in existence.
Mm-hmm.
She started out at Forbes, and that's not existent. Then she went at Soho, that is not in Greenfield School. Neither of those schools have the existence today.
Mm-hmm.
And then she remained the so-called the housewife, and she's been active in a lot of organizations, kept busy with these things.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, she has enough of tell her own stories. I don't want to tell her stories about it.
Mm-hmm. However, you had to go with her sometimes to her Hadassah parties.
Oh, yes, I went to Hadassah parties. More than that, I went to Israel to the Hadassah, what's in convention, even 2 years or 3 years ago it was.
Right.
And actually, I became a member of the so-called, what do you call it, associate member, right.
Uh-huh.
See, I'm an associate because of her. How could I say no? I belong to too many organizations. I belong to so many organizations. I sometimes, but of course, I'm GACC, and then a museum, the Holocaust Museum, member of that, and then the Wiesenthal Center.
Yes. Do you have, back to Pittsburgh, local, have you ever met any of the principal local Pittsburgh political figures, like a mayor or councilman? Did you have any comment about the different feel of the European political sense and the American one?
No, I didn't have any contact with these people at all. Really, never, never. I had more or less with other people contacts who were not officials, you know, things that we were discussing the difference in government and difference things that I always. Think what bothers me, and I don't know, maybe because I see them deriding the mayor or making fun in the papers or a president, things like that. That was in Czechoslovakia, it was one thing a law. You could never say a bad thing about the president. that was against the law. You could not disagree with them. It was democracy. You didn't have to vote them. But there was never any derogatory remarks made against the president.
Mm-hmm.
It was president was above. Is it not reproach? What would be the right word? That you had no right to
make fun
of him. To criticize, yes, but not to ridicule. That's criticizing is all right, but not to ridicule a president. Actually, it goes back to the kings. The Israeli kings and in Israel was the same thing, that your king had to be respected, whether you were or there, because he was the king. You had to get up in the king's stand up or anything like that. And that is sometimes, it's a little bit odd to me, but you learn to accept it. This is part of the American way of life. And there are advantages and disadvantages. I think because if you don't have respect for the higher authorities, you sometimes lose respect for the lower authorities too.
Well,
I don't know.
What could you say about Sophie Maslow's hairdo?
I don't know anything about hairdo, so I can't say anything at all. No, because you could say something, you know, you nothing wrong to criticize. Mm-hmm. But not to make a really bad taste, some things in bad taste, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's what I would say. That's it. That's all right. Nothing wrong. We're all human.
Uh-huh. I know you've done so much in public school lecturing on the Holocaust issues and matters, but. Do you have any sense of the schools and the children apart from that? Have you been in schools enough to make any comment at all about a public and private schools that you've
been in? No, I've been to public schools and I've been to private schools. And I'm quite impressed by the schools. Maybe I just seen these people who ask for speakers, you know, who are interested in some of history, or the teachers are teaching them, right? I got so many interesting questions from those people. I don't know where, what, especially from younger kids. They're uninhibited. They'll ask you very personal questions. And mostly the younger ones are always interested about your history, more or less, not history, about your family. They always want to know where your family, what was your family, and how, and what it was like to return and not to find them, or all kinds of things. Now, older people are now asking, some of them are asking a lot of different questions. One of the young ladies, I think it was at Boyd School, asked me a very interesting question. I told them the story how when you were in camp, you had nothing on you at all. They were checking you should have anything on you. And then I told them about the behavior of some of these guards and couples and everything, and then one of them says, you know what, if you would now run into somebody that, because I told him I don't know even if I would run into, but I would know, but if you would run into somebody that you're sure that you knew them and he was some one of these guys, what would you tell him? So I told them, I says, you didn't win. And these people all just suddenly, not a word came out from them and everybody stopped. And then, you know, I have here another question. There were a lot of interesting questions. A young black kid asked me once, and that was very interesting. He said, I listened to your story and I see what you went through. And he says, when you returned, I wonder, why do you still want to be a Jew?
Mm.
And actually, he didn't mean it that way. I somehow felt that he meant something else. Since you are white, you could really fit in anywhere else. Why do you want to go through all these things again or something similar like that? I cannot do that because I have color problem and you don't. And there were so many of these. There was somebody asked me, I think about 2 weeks ago, and about the faith. And then I pointed out before how I, you know, my faith, I got back, whether you believe in all these things. And then somebody asked me, in Meadville, I think it was, you went through all these things, and all these things, how did you keep your sanity? So you seen, you went, and everything like that. And that, I says, no, I never give up hope, I think, and that was the whole thing that kept me going, and that's all. There is not much you can't do about these things and you see what's going on, because if you start brooding about them, you become one of them too. You become a fatality of it or something like that. You too. It's just everybody. I went into a school in Apollo, and after we finished our presentation, I was with somebody else, and the teacher was a nice young lady, and she says, you know, yesterday to prepare you for this occasion, I had a young girl, we showed them a video, and one of the young girls broke down, and she says, how can the world be so cruel, how can people be so cruel, due to other people what this was done, and she cried, and she broke down. Then, after this presentation, she took us back to her room, to her regular classroom, and then she told us if we want to answer any questions, yes. And that little girl came in, she was about 13, she said, would you try to tell your story, you know, to the girl. The girl started, and then I said, you know, if there would be more like you, there would be never been a Holocaust. And that girl was so relieved, and the girl walked out like a different person. Mm-hmm. And you know, you don't know, it's very difficult to tell what to tell. A young girl here at Taylor all the time asks me, I see you, what age you are, I see how old you are and everything. She says, if you would have been a German, if you would have lived in Germany, would you have joined the youth, the Hitler Youth? Mm-hmm. And I said, I don't know, but I know one thing. I was fortunate enough to grow up in a democracy, that I was taught what is right and wrong. And I, under those circumstances, with my knowledge, with my upbringing, I don't think so I would have done. And she was satisfied with the answer.
Mm-hmm. Yes, now you've mentioned Apollo and Taylor Alderdice and Meadville.
Yeah.
So name a few other schools you've been to.
I had an interesting thing in, well, I think, I don't know if I should tell it, Peabody High. Mm-hmm. And then I talked to a group, and there was a mixed group of kids, black and white. And again, I pointed out the thing with how you were watching, you should have nothing on you. And after I got the presentation all the way through, then a kid stood up and said, did you have a gun? No, this is the culture. That's what you see with the culture. How can you live without a gun? How do you mean you didn't have a gun there? Yeah. You know, that was very interesting to me. That's, I mean, there are so many thousands of questions. Well, you know, but that was something that really
hit me. That hit me too.
You know, what would you ask and things like that? It's almost impossible. I spoke at the New Kensington, Penn State campus, you know. That was interesting too. As I spoke there, and I finished, and I left, and they wrote papers about being there. So one, the teacher, she sent me back some of the answers and the things that one student wrote. It was really nice of you to tell the whole story about you, your family, and everything. Another one was a note that says, you didn't tell anything about your family. So I don't know which one. So I asked somebody, how is that possible? So you'd be surprised. A lot of people don't hear what you say, and that's all like this. A teacher told me that. She said, don't be surprised. And then in Peabody, I had another interesting experience. It was, and I, after my presentation, and I finished it, and there was quiet during the whole period, and teacher after the presentation came and said, I wish, how do you do that? I wish I could do that. I wish they would be as well. And the interesting, that all my presentations I gave, I have never run into any kind of difficulties with people. Never. Nobody made any kind of remarks, derogatory remarks, or anything like that. I spoke as I said, 2 weeks ago at ITT in Monroeville. This is International Telephone Telegraph. They have a so-called technical school. And I got through, and a young fellow came over after me, and he says, thank you. He says, you made it. You did it for me. He says, from now on, you changed me completely. I always complain about some minor things. You taught me there is more to life. And then he says, you have to really live life, to understand life. You know, there was, or I had another one, I think, I don't remember where it was, Duquesne University. And Kit came over, I spoke at Duquesne University, came over with a big, what's the name, cross on his things like that. He says, you made my day. And I said, you made my day. Because I didn't think that you would come and listen to me. He just all these things. You know, so these are, you're rewarded. I think you get out as much, if not more, than they get out from you. Because it's a reward, it's a very rewarding thing to go out and to speak to kids like that. And after so many years, and they're still willing to listen to it. I've been now, I have to go, I think, to Westminster College next month. Then I'm going back to Meadville. I've been to Meadville to Allegheny College already 3 times. Mm-hmm. And they're sponsored by Bnei B'rith.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. And they have a nice crowd. They get about 150 to 200 people.
How about Pitt?
Oh, Pitt, I've spoken a lot of times. I spoke at Alex Orbeck's class, Barbara Burston's class, and yes, I spoke. Then I spoke at twice at Pitt at so-called freshman classes who come into Pitt were introduced. My neighbor here, John DeVito, takes me there. He teaches at a freshman class like that. There was another teacher who took me there. I spoke a lot of places. Of
course, at CMU?
CMU only for the CMU over 60, mm-hmm. Yes. But I spoke to Jewish schools like Chedges, mm-hmm. I do every year. The community day school, actually that's where I started that, at the community day school, the first thing I spoke. And today's the so-called Schechter school. And there are a lot of other ones, Catholic schools, a lot of Catholic schools. Yes, that's where I spoke.
Any particular Catholic teacher you want to mention?
The teacher, I don't remember exactly what the name was, but here it's St. Bede's. Mm-hmm. But I had a very interesting experience. The St. Bede school I spoke, I think I had about 20 kids or 18 or 20 kids, and I got through, they asked questions, interesting questions, and here they're ready to go, all in front and behind, in front of me like that, everybody handed me a dollar. Every kid handed me a dollar. And I thought that was a very good, and it turned out to be $18. And it was very interesting. You know, I was flabbergasted. These kids, nothing without, and I think the teacher was Gold Camp, something like that. But I was really taken when he said, like, every kid a dollar. You know? I said, oh, I spoke at Till Allardyce several times, in Miss Sherman's class. And she has a tremendous class. These kids are well prepared. These kids are really well informed. I had even kids who after that came to me for follow-ups. Last year I had a young lady who was writing something about the Jews of Czechoslovakia, and I gave her some material and helped her with that. And she has one of the best classes, mm-hmm. in the high schools that I encounter among the high schools. Mm-hmm. And their life is just you learn it every day, something new with something different, and it's all. Now with the new revelations, what coming through, you know, that so many things are coming through.
What new revelations?
No, with Switzerland, with all these things, what really is going on. There's still no, with the art things, what it is, how many museums have arts, things they have never checked, the source of it. They keep it there, and they're hoping that nobody should come and ask for it. There is a friends. You would probably find here in the United States some art, in some art galleries, some places like that too, that were bought and all kinds of from the source that wasn't the real source of it. They didn't check it. You know, when it comes to a lot of things, people when it comes to money, it's very difficult. I don't know, what do you call it?
We're all greedy.
Yes, we're all greedy. You know, there is a very good Hebrew expression how you get to know people. Bekiso, bekaso, bekoso. You get to know them when you do business with them, you get to know them when you drink with them, and you then get to know when somebody who gets angry, you get in a fight with them. And that's very good, and that you can see it, especially business, when it comes to business, that people are white. They're not the same people that you know. A lot of times you find out, I just listened to this morning's news. I mean, news a report on I don't know, Osgood has one of those always on the radio, 5 minutes between something. Did you hear this? I don't know. It's about a woman who, during the Holocaust, while she was, got caught and there was nowhere to go, and they knocked on the door, and there were two Ukrainians living there, two men. And they took them and they saved 15 people without anything at all, endangered their life, and they took them and they kept them during the war. These people left, some are the United States, some of them are them, and what's the name? And Israel, and now these people in Ukraine, they're all old, they're sending them all, I think, all the time, some, they're supporting them now, they're doing everything. They brought them over to the United States here for special medical care. And but they made a point, she said, the woman says, you know, the one who saves a life saves the whole world. And he says, and he said, I couldn't be a Christian if I wouldn't have done what the Christian, thinks, what they're supposed to, what the Christian's supposed to do. So there were a lot of interesting people you're finding out. And see, these people were different. So there, you know, there are always some good people in this world, and that's all like this. So not everything is evil. And these people didn't do it for nothing or no money. They had nothing to gain by it. Actually, these people endangered their life, but they still did it.
Winnie, thank you a lot. That was wonderful.
Thank you for listening to my voice.